This is Virginia Insight. I'm Tom Graham. Have you ever worked for a nonprofit or a government agency? If so, you probably found one of the biggest challenges was money. You may have had to pinch pennies really hard. And you may have found yourself thinking, I wish we could be more effective in the work we're doing, but we just don't have the money or time to figure out how. Enter in the new Madison Center for Community Development. They might be able to help without costing you much, because their work is done primarily by college professors and graduate students. And while they're helping you, they're advancing their own research interests. Well, that's the thumbnail sketch. For the more detailed analysis, we've got several people on hand to tell us how the new Madison Center works and how government agencies and nonprofits could be more effective. It's coming up right after the news. Great to be with you. I'm Tom Graham, and this is Virginia Insight, helping local government and nonprofits be more effective. Will be much of our focus this hour. And if you've got thoughts about that, we've got a phone line open for you at 888-WMRA-TALK. If you prefer all numbers, then that translates to 888-967-2825. And most specifically, we're also going to be looking at the efforts of a new James Madison University organization called the Madison Center for Community Development. Here to help, that center's new executive director, Nick Swartz, plus the executive director of the Shenandoah Valley Regional Airport, Greg Campbell, as well as the assistant director of economic development for the city of Stanton, Cortland Robinson. Gentlemen, thank you all for making time for us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Pleasure to be here.
Well, Dr. Swartz, let me pick on you first, if I could. Just what is the Madison Center? What do you do? Why do you exist? And what are you hoping to accomplish over the long term?
Sure. And you said that effectiveness piece in your intro. I would also add that efficiency piece, because that's going to be extremely important. But I'm going to get into that in just one second. I first want to say thank you for the invitation for me and my colleagues and former participants in some way to sit and chat with you and your listeners today about the new Madison Center for Community Development. The center itself is a new university-wide engagement-related center. I can go into mission, vision, but the gist of the center is that it has this mission of better positioning the university. And James Madison University has, as our new strategic plan was adopted on July 1st of this year, to become the model of the engaged university. So you're going to hear me have that as a focus a lot, not just in response to the university's vision, but because this is something that we were already doing. So for us, it is positioning the university, or better positioning the university, to maintain, to strengthen, and then to further develop relationships between and across local governments and nonprofits throughout the Shenandoah Valley. And the ultimate vision for the new center is across the Commonwealth. And the way that we help achieve that is by providing technical assistance. And I think we'll get into that here in a minute as to what that might look like or what that does look like, to public and nonprofit organizations who need some kind of help. That internal capacity may not be able to exactly on the service delivery component meet the donor wishes, meet the constituent demand, meet citizen demand. So local governments, nonprofit organizations say we need some kind of help, and we do not have the funding to hire a full-time staff person or pay tens of thousands of dollars for a private consulting. And so this is where this new center can come in, and I am able to connect local governments and nonprofits to then the intellectual capacity and expertise of faculty at James Madison University, students, alumni, and staff to provide some sort of product or service to these local governments and nonprofits.
Nick's program really adds a lot of value to the relationship that the university is continuing to expand. And what he will effectively do is provide a vehicle for the resources, the human capital, and the abundance of opportunity at the university, and connect that with the needs of the community.
Cortland Robinson, you work in a city's economic development department.
specifically the city of Stanton. What does that mean? What does an economic development department do?
That's a good question. And I'm constantly trying to re-up my value proposition. And I think the quickest way to get to it is if you had to, in a short sentence, say what my job is to create tax revenue for the city or assist in creating tax revenue for the city.
Yeah, but you could do that by going out with a cup on the street and saying, please make a donation.
I don't dedicate much time to that during the day. What the Economic Development Office provides the city is this. Governments do not have the same climate as private business, but we need to talk the same language. We need to understand their needs, and we need to be flexible. Governments can't always do that with a decentralized structure. So my job is to work with all of the assets that I have in the city, connect them with the needs of the community. And it's also about, as much as it is connecting the needs, it's about going out there and creating opportunities, those opportunities that we have with existing businesses.
What kind of opportunities? What are you looking to accomplish with a – can you give me an example of an opportunity and how that ends up relating to the city of Stanton's tax revenues?
Everything is an opportunity. Every person you meet is an opportunity. Every
relationship that you can build. Yeah, but I'm looking for one specific example, Cortland.
Well, business attraction, I'll take for an example.
Okay.
Without an economic development department, business attraction wouldn't be possible. It takes the go-to. It takes the drive.
So does business attraction mean that a company that makes really fine widgets wants to expand? And
what do you need? What are the resources you need to make those widgets?
You're going to try to persuade them to locate their new factory in Stanton instead of in Winchester or Charlottesville or Richmond. Is that basically what you do?
Yes. The Shenandoah Valley has a lot of assets. We don't have to do much persuasion, but we're very good at our economic development team is very good at bringing it across the finish line. And we have people that are willing to work with you if you needed staff, if you needed the human resources, you needed help on payroll, you needed
so
to find a site or a building.
Part of what an economic development department does in its interest to better the tax base of a city or a government agency of some kind is to attract new businesses, whether it's a factory or a retail outlet, create new jobs for people who live in your city. Is there also something about helping businesses that are already there?
Absolutely.
Can you give me an example of that?
Business retention and expansion is perhaps one of the most important and even more so important than business attraction, because the opportunities that lie within your city are right there in your own businesses and within your own workforce. And if you're not taking advantage of those, then you're missing a lot of opportunity.
And Greg Campbell, you work with, as a matter of fact, you're the recent past chair. You're continuing to be on the board of a regional economic development agency. And I think its scope extends through, is it from like Rockbridge County on the southern edge all the way up to north
Page
of
County.
Charlottesville, Page County
yes.
In the northern edge? What's that group called, and what are you doing, and what do you have to add about what economic development is to what Cortland was just telling us?
The Shenandoah Valley Partnership was formed.
Well, that's what it's called, the Shenandoah Valley Partnership.
Many years ago. There are about a half a dozen like entities that exist around the Commonwealth. We do represent a little more than a dozen cities and counties from, as you mentioned, Rockbridge to Page and Shenandoah counties and everything in between out to Bath and Highland. The partnership is that point of contact for economic development. If someone's looking to make an investment in the region or looking at the region, it's sort of the initial point of contact.
What is economic development? What is investment in very practical terms?
A lot of people think of economic development as just growth and addition of course, tax revenue and jobs. But it's also quality of life issues as well. And to really embrace economic development and make it happen and make our communities better, we really have to bring all those elements together. And that's what has done so well here in the Valley with the Shenandoah Valley Partnership and Cortland and all of his colleagues that all collaborate to make this a better community for the residents to live here. But the partnership really is the funneling mechanism and the first point of contact. And then once it arrives at the partnership, we have a nice portfolio of what is available, what each locality is looking for in terms of investment and in terms of the profile of businesses or individuals that want to locate in that region. And then we turn it over to the individual jurisdictions, just like Cortland, the city of Stanton, and the other jurisdictions that we represent.
Greg is a modest person, so I'd like to give another definition of economic development. Through NICS program, the Madison Center for Community Development, I was able to be placed at the airport as a graduate assistant, learn a lot about air service, learn a lot about how that impacts and affects our community. Quality of life is a large part of economic development. And without our regional airports, and Virginia has a robust airport system, the residents in the Shenandoah Valley and the community and even in the city of Stanton would not have the great quality of life that we have. We provide air service, both public and private, and economic development is a wide variety of assets, and the airport is one of those. And I had an opportunity to study that through the program, and I can't thank Nick enough for that.
Nick Schwartz, as a professor in the Public Administration Department at James Madison University, and now as head of the new Madison Center for Community Development, a lot of your work with students is people who are at the graduate level, mm-hmm. who, like Cortland, up until a year or so ago, was a master's degree student at James Madison. But as you know, Nick, in our conversations in the past, I've told you I learn best if you treat me like a sixth grader. You know, so that's like less than half the education and intelligence level of the students you usually work with, and explain things to me in the simplest possible terms. With that in mind, fill out the description for me of what economic development is.
Thank you. I will be glad to. I could talk to you for the rest of the hour. I actually teach a graduate level.
Yeah, but I'm a sixth grader.
Hold on.
Hold on to your juice box.
I'm going to take the approach that I take with my students, because they come in and they think that economic development is economic growth. And one of these guys mentioned that's the start, but that's just a component. And I think for a lot of people, it stops there. That if the economy is growing and I'm seeing an increase in per capita income, increase in the sheer number of firms, retail firms, manufacturing firms, et cetera, that's economic development. That's a component of it, yes. And so the students, I go through and we talk about what makes me happy. I get at the quality of life component. I was going to come back to, because we still didn't define quality of life. My approach to economic development is through that quality of life lens. And here's the sixth grade version. And what makes you happy? What makes you happy as a citizen? Does it make you angry that you have to sit in traffic for an hour each day to go to work, and it might be a 14-mile commute? If that makes me unhappy, and enough people are that's making them unhappy, that puts pressure on government to respond in some way, and they may decide to move elsewhere. And if a government doesn't respond, a firm may leave. And so this is part of then where Cortland's with the city, and then also with the Shenandoah Valley Partnership, where they can not just bring in new businesses, but work to keep them here. And so that's my approach to economic development. And so we can think about those happiness variables. Do I have access then to public parks, pools? Do I have access to walking and biking paths? Do I have a good school system? And that's extremely important. As it relates to economic development, it's one of the very first things that people look into is how good is the school system here.
So to you who are listening, have you ever had to work with a consultant or a group of consultants in your job? What was that experience like? Were there some really good things about it? Some not so good? 888-WMRA-TALK is how to reach us by phone. That's 888-967-2825. Better understanding of how to make more efficient and effective nonprofits and government agencies here in the Insight Studio, Greg Campbell. In addition to his work running the Shenandoah Valley Regional Airport, he's a current board member and past chair of the economic development agency called the Shenandoah Valley Partnership, and he's a board member of the Augusta Regional Chamber of Commerce. Nick Swartz keeps relatively busy, too, as a faculty member in the Department of Public Administration at James Madison University. Dr. Swartz's areas of research include the regional economic impact of airports, the impact of light rail systems, city-county consolidations, almost got that word right, and, as he was mentioning, quality of life issues, as well as several other research topics. He is also executive director of the new Madison Center for Community Development based at James Madison University. Cortland Robinson has already worked with a variety of agencies and nonprofits in the Shenandoah Valley, most of those while he was getting his master's in Dr. Swartz's department at JMU. These days, Mr. Robinson's focus is largely on efforts to improve the economy and quality of life in and around Stanton, Virginia. Mr. Robinson now serves as that city's Assistant Director of Economic Development. This is Virginia Insight. I'm Tom Graham. Call-in number 888-WMRA-TALK. So, Nick Swartz, from your perspective, is there a biggest challenge that government agencies and or nonprofits have to deal with?
Sure, I would say doing more with less. And that is then a prime example of how this center, the Madison Center for Community Development, can help. Can help when an agency wants to provide a particular service or a new program, but they just do not have the funding to be able to provide that service. We can help them in some way, and that some way could be identifying grant opportunities. That some way could be actually implementing some of the services. And so I would say for both sides of the aisle, government and nonprofit, it is that they are increasing demand is being placed on them. But we know, and we can think about that here within our own, within the Commonwealth, we have to do more with less because of the tax base is tied to the economy as well, or the tax revenues, rather, are tied to the economy.
As most of our listeners are probably aware, the state's facing pending budget cuts, and that's going to affect every locality in Virginia. What makes the universities and the community colleges so important right now is they have so much resources to offer localities, to offer airports, to offer nonprofits, and assist them in accomplishing their mission and being successful in their endeavors, and creating a center like Madison Community Development, having our other strong, again, robust programs in the state of Virginia for economic development. A large part of that is utilizing the education system that we have there. That's the workforce. That's the human capital. That's the heart of many of our communities.
And I'd like to actually, and this is Nick Swartz, I'd like to reverse that question and think about how you asked me the largest obstacle for government and nonprofits. I would like to talk about the obstacles then for students coming out of a four-year institution or any institution of
higher. And I would like to ask you if you can hold that thought.
Sure.
Only because Ruth in Harrisonburg has been holding herself on the line here for
right.
a bit. And for anybody who's just joined us, I should mention that we do have other phone lines open. If you want to talk with Nick Swartz, Cortland Robinson, and or Greg Campbell, easy to remember, phone number 888-WMRA-TALK. In all numbers, that translates to 888-967-2825. Ruth, thanks so much for calling in. Your question or comment for our guests, please.
Yes, I'm interested in the conversation about quality of life issues, and I'm wondering whether the Madison Center or predecessor efforts at JMU have been involved with the North End Greenway project, which came out with big fanfare a couple years ago, and I haven't heard really where things are, and I'd like to know, number one, where are things, and Have you had or could you have involvement there? What's the status of the project? And it seems like it's a big plus for quality of life in a lot of different ways for our community.
Oh, and Ruth, before you go away, we have many thousands of people listening who are well away from Harrisonburg and may have never even heard of this Greenway project. So can you describe a little of what it is?
It's an unusual idea, although it's been done in other places, but it's for a bikeway, walkway, area that would go from the north of the city really down straight into the downtown, just across a number of undeveloped tracts of land and past some already developed ones. But it's thought of as sort of a miles-long park that would attract people and encourage walking, biking, strolling, interaction, as well as connection from the outer part of town all the way straight into the downtown. So that's the project that we thought we were working on a couple of years ago, from what I could tell, and then I've heard nothing for some time. So I know some other communities have done similar things. I think it's a big one that's important for us, and particularly for the part of our town that does not have in Harrisonburg as many parks as some other parts of town have. So just wondering, it's an overall effort to benefit quality of life really for the whole community, and I'm just wondering what the status is.
No, Ruth, that's a very good point, that the efforts and the ultimate plan, once implemented, that is a prime example, or excellent example, of what I was talking about if you were listening earlier about what makes me happy as a citizen or as a resident, those quality of life components. I can tell you that a colleague in my department of political science has some experience working on behalf of the North End Greenway project. I myself, and under my umbrella with the center, I have not had that experience. And I don't know if Greg or Cortland can, if you either of you know any more as to the status of that. I can certainly look into it. Seems like just recently there was an article in the local newspaper that was focusing in on that, and I could be mistaken, but that's a good point to kind of check in to see maybe how the center can help get that up and running again if it did stall.
Ruth, I think you're right on with the Greenway being an addition to the quality of life. I have to think that the climate for funding, government funding for those projects is somewhat strenuous now. But we've seen examples in our region do the same thing. Waynesboro has a very nice greenway, and it provides countless opportunities for people to utilize that area of the city. So understand your concern.
And Ruth, it's such a good issue because it's something that will appeal throughout our listening area. I'm sorry that we don't have somebody who knows the specifics of what's going on with the Harrisonburg project on our panel, but there might be somebody listening who does, and if they do, we'd love to have them call in and address your question at 888-WMRA-TALK. But I do want to thank you for joining us here on Virginia Insight, and if you listening live in Farmville or Winchester or Orange or Louisa or Woodstock or anywhere in between, and you have some experience in your community with the type of project Ruth was talking about, a project that encourages more bicycling, more walking around a certain area of your community. And you can tell us some of how that was developed or what stage it's in if it hasn't been developed yet. That probably will give us some excellent ideas to work with. Our phone number, 888-967-2825. Were you about to say something? Cortland, was that why your hand was up, or are you just scratching your
head? I'm a constant stretcher. I'm a big guy. I got to stretch it out.
Nick, so if I can go, and this is Nick Swartz again, if I can go back to my earlier point when you asked me what the largest obstacles for governments and nonprofits, I'd like to be asked that question as a faculty member. And now in my new role of how I'm then trying to help faculty and students at JMU, my approach as the director of the center is that not that the community needs us, but that we need the community. We as JMU need to engage better with our community. And why is that the case? And Cortland can speak to that here in a second. But thinking about the professional development opportunities, that the type of work that the center is able to link, not just faculty, but students. You mentioned a major focus of mine was grad students. It's actually university-wide, undergrad and grad. The last year, or last 3 years, rather, I was the director of a graduate program. So I was having where part of my mission there was focused on grad students. But these class-based projects, internship, partnering programs, those are geared for undergrads as well. So it is university-wide. And Cortland, I don't know if you want to speak at all in thinking about how the opportunities that what was the Partners in Community Leadership program that's now the new Madison Center, how those opportunities helped you then once you day one of your new position.
Absolutely. Well, one of the first projects that we worked on was with the Shenandoah Valley Partnership. And
the Economic Development Agency that Greg is
Shenandoah, yes, yes.
And I'll say we, when he's referring to we, not in his role with the city, but in his role as a grad assistant then working under me.
That's correct. The Shenandoah Valley Partnership is our regional economic development marketing agency. Nick and the partnership agreed that there were some needs through the partnership, and Nick is constantly trying to grow his program and create opportunities for the graduate students. I began my first semester researching our economic development organizations in the entire state, comparing best practices and benchmarking the Shenandoah Valley Partnership against their counterparts in other parts of the state. That project led to another semester internal to the Shenandoah Valley Partnership, where I continued to learn about Virginia's economy, the Shenandoah Valley, and just it was an excellent educational opportunity for me through the center and through the MPA program. That led to meeting Mr. Campbell. I asked Greg Campbell if he had any opportunities at the airport. Nick and Greg got together, created an additional two-semester assistantship for me, and it's just it's continues to build on.
We have another caller coming in from Harrisonburg. Laura, I understand you're with an Area United Way, and you've had some experience with the Madison Center?
Yeah, so I'm the executive director at United Way of Harrisonburg in Rockingham County, and had the privilege of working with Nick for our grants process this year, which is what one of the big things that people know United Way for. And so it's really great to hear him and your other guests talking about the importance of efficiency and effectiveness in the nonprofit sector. And Nick really brought that to our process, and it was just kind of great to have.
Laura, help me understand what a grants process is.
Sure, yeah. So we, United raises money throughout Harrisonburg and Rockingham County, and we take that money and distribute a portion of it to nonprofit organizations that apply for grants from us. And so we have a process that involves a written application, verbal presentations, and a kind of rigorous assessment process from community volunteers that evaluate those applications and help us to make recommendations to our board of directors on who and which organizations will get funding for the programs for which they applied for.
So who gets how much money? And Nick helped you improve how you went about doing this?
He did, yeah.
What did he do?
He was originally brought on because there was a transition in leadership at United Way, and so I worked alongside of him when I came on. And again, great to have his perspective kind of from that process, but also with some great knowledge of content and program.
Well, I understand, Laura, that there must be some confidentiality in how some of these operations are conducted, but I'm wondering if you can give me an example of something Nick or his group did that helped you improve the way you operate.
Sure. I would say it was happening all along the way, but one thing that he helped us with was having a more sophisticated evaluation process of the process. And so he helped us to get some feedback from the organizations that applied for money, as well as the volunteers that participated, and facilitated a nice process for us to be able to improve it next time we do it.
Laura, thanks so much for taking the time to join us here on Virginia Insight.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Laura.
Here in the Insight studio, Nick Swartz, head of the Madison Center for Community Development based at James Madison University, Cortland Robinson, Assistant Economic Development Director for the City of Stanton, and Greg Campbell, Executive Director of the Shenandoah Valley Regional Airport. This is Virginia Insight. I'm Tom Graham. We've got some phone lines open at 888-WMRA-TALK. We're going next, though, to Lou Ray. Happy, thanks for calling in. Your question or comment for our guests, please.
Well, I just want to say I've been in Luray off and on for a couple of years, but discovered the Greenway about a year ago, and it just blows my mind. It's a retreat. So I've got an old dog, and we walk it. couple of times a week, and I have great conversations with old-timers like myself and young mothers pushing strollers and guys jogging and guys running and bicycles. And it runs along the Hawksbill Creek about a quarter mile outside of Luray. It runs underneath the main street in Luray and runs out about a probably about a little over a mile in total length, but it's a serpentine asphalt track, and it runs underneath bridges, and it's got benches to sit on every quarter mile or so, and it's got a gazebo, and it's got drinking fountains, and it ends at a turnaround, and there are cattle pasturing in this loop. It's just it's the best thing. Luray's the only claim that Luray makes other than tourism is the Luray Caverns and now the Greenway.
Happy, do you have any idea how it got created, when it got created, whether there was a struggle over creating it?
I do not know, but I have friends who have an art gallery, and they're talking about turning a part of the Greenway into a sculpture garden. And I don't know anybody's name at all. I just happened to be walking by the radio, and I said, the Greenway? My heart kind of jumped. I went, you ever talk about a Greenway other places other than Luray? What a great idea.
Well, I'm sure that our previous caller, Ruth, who was wondering what the status was of getting it completed in Harrisonburg, is going to be happy to have heard your endorsement for what a wonderful thing it is.
Yeah, it's amazing. You've got to come up. It's a destination. Just to come up and park the car. There's parking lots at both ends of it. And there are three different parking lots, so you can walk the short loop or you can take the long loop.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that. I've got a visual picture now, and I want to get there and use it myself. Thank you, Happy. Greg Campbell, in the work with the Shenandoah Valley Partnership that you've done, you're up in Page County. Did what we heard from Happy strike a chord with you? Is this something that you've seen yourself in Luray or in other areas that
yes,
you've traveled?
It does. And it gets back to that issue of economic development not just being about growth, but being about quality of life, and not just about our current residents, but if we want to attract quality investment in our region, these issues are becoming, I think Cortland can probably speak to this better than I can, it's becoming a bigger and bigger issue all the time. We have a lot of great things going for us here. It's a beautiful place. It's a very favorable business climate. The workforce is great. But it's these other things that contribute to quality of life, like our callers have spoken about, that are really starting to get the attention of the type of investments, the type of firms and companies that we want to locate and become our partners here in the region that are becoming important. It's certainly becoming a bigger and bigger issue all the time, I think.
What's apparent in Ruth's comment and the next caller is that
Happy,
yes.
What a great name.
Ruth and Happy.
Happy is obviously Happy.
Happy's description of the pathway made me happy. He was very enthusiastic about the Greenway. But I think what's apparent in that is that from a grassroots perspective, if your community can get behind a project, it's probably a good thing. The quality of life piece goes hand in hand with providing your citizens even just the most basic amenities, like having a pathway to walk their dog and talk to their neighbor, like Happy was saying.
And well, to you on the other side of your radio, I'm curious, do you have a favorite nonprofit? What is it about that agency that appeals to you? Are there any ways you think that group could improve on its efforts? Your voice welcome in this conversation that as we look at helping both government agencies and nonprofits become more effective, more efficient, better at what they're trying to accomplish. Our phone number is easy to remember as 888-WMRA-TALK, 888-967-2825. Or if you prefer to type instead of talk, you can post to us on the Virginia Insight Facebook page. We'll be back in just about a minute. So, here in the Virginia Insight studio, the City of Stanton's Assistant Director for Economic Development, Cortland Robinson. Also with us, the Executive Director of the Shenandoah Valley Regional Airport, Greg Campbell, as well as Associate Professor of Public Administration at James Madison University, Nick Swartz, who also serves as executive director of the school's new Madison Center for Community Development. This is Virginia Insight. I'm Tom Graham. And joining us now by phone is a man who spent some time working in the finance industry and then a few years with one of the federal government's largest private contractors before deciding to go back to school for a master's in public administration. That master's work almost complete now, and while putting the finishing touches on it, he is now working as a research associate at the Madison Center for Community Development. Jack Sly, welcome to Virginia Insight.
Hi, guys.
So, Jack, I don't want you to feel any pressure whatsoever.
Sure thing.
Because, you know, we'll ignore the fact that Nick's here. And,
right.
And he's kind of your boss.
He's just my boss, right.
But you're going to be moving on soon, and, you know, there's all kinds of other economic opportunities ahead once you have MPA after your name, Master's in Public Administration.
Sure.
So I expect this to be devoid of any interest in how Nick is going to respond to what you say, okay?
Okay.
What do you think the value of something like the new Madison Center is for local government agencies, nonprofits, other groups who are looking for ways to become more effective in their work?
The biggest thing is that they can really connect with the expertise inside JMU, and they can tap into that through the center, well, in a number of different ways. But they don't have to go out on, say, like the private market and pay $20,000 for a marketing plan or $10,000 for an economic development study or something like that. They can come to the center, and we can try to set them up with maybe a teacher that wants to do a class project with something along those lines, or something like what Cortland did when he was a graduate assistant, and they could have a dedicated full-time or part-time, maybe 20 hours a week, graduate assistant working in their agency. This would be, I mean, someone like me, like I have my undergraduate degree. I worked up in Northern Virginia for a number of years, and I'm back in school now. So someone with a little bit of experience and just a little more like wherewithal than what you might get at, say, the undergraduate level. But then there's also access to tons of undergraduate internship opportunities as well. And all of those kind of things, you just aren't able to go out with a small budget and get a really high quality product as maybe a nonprofit might not just have that capacity.
Nick Schwartz, I've asked people listening if they have a favorite nonprofit that they'd be willing to tell us about to call in. So far, nobody has, but maybe somebody just tuned in and now they're hearing the question again.
Sure.
So I should mention with that that our phone number is easy to remember as 888-WMRA-TALK. But while we're waiting so that I can get your input on this type of issue, let me say that I've got lots of favorite nonprofits. But I really love dogs, so I cannot help but be riveted every time Service Dogs of Virginia posts on Facebook, and I see, you know, the puppies that they're posting, and they're asking for help or for donations or new events coming up. So let's pick on them for a moment.
Sure.
I don't know that they necessarily have any problems, but they're constantly expanding the work that they do, training dogs to be of assistance to people who have different kinds of handicaps. And certainly one of the things that they always need, I would imagine, are more volunteers, more people willing to be trained as volunteers, more money. What could you do for an organization like that?
Sure, there are a whole host of things that I think that I could help, and this would be the case for any nonprofit or government agency. If they wanted to have where there would be a dedicated staff person working with them on behalf of whatever discipline that they're looking for, if it's marketing, if it's public administration, if it is on the social service side, I could hire a grad assistant that would be placed with them where they would be working with that agency for 20 hours a week. And this is actually how Cortland had his position and Jack's position right now. And then they would be treated as a staff person. They paid JMU the funding for the position up front, and then JMU pays the student. But
how much does it cost?
It's 73 and some change, so $7,300 and some dollars per academic year, and that gives access to then a full-time grad student, and their requirement back to the agency is to work with the agency on-site for 20 hours a week.
And how does that compare to what Service Dogs of Virginia or any other nonprofit would have to pay for a consultant to do the same thing?
Well, if you break that down, two semesters, an academic year, 20 hours per week is pretty much the model. That's much cheaper labor, and I don't want to say cheaper because the benefit to the student is not the hourly wage it's getting. It's the experience and the contacts he's making.
Is there also something that sometimes happens, or maybe always happens, when you're working with a government agency or you're working with a nonprofit, helping them improve in some given area that they see as needed, that you're adding to your research, to your understanding of the world of nonprofits, the world of government?
Oh, absolutely. And if go back to my point a little earlier when I was making reference to the fact that my approach in my role as director of the center is that I as director in my role at JMU as a faculty member, trying to link the faculty and the students, I need the community. So I need the organizations. And it's that reciprocal relationship. And JMU, we have where our mission or vision is to become the model of the engaged university, and that's all based on reciprocity and this mutually beneficial exchange of information. And that's a great question because, yes, the faculty, it's great professional development for them. They're staying fresh by working with agencies. They're learning from working for agencies. So it's not just the agency that benefits. It's not just the student that benefits. It's also the faculty members that benefit. And I myself, on the professional development side, I've learned a lot. Just as Laura Holsinger called in just a few minutes ago and was talking about my experience with her agency with the United Way here, I learned a lot just on the grant management side of things. I knew a lot already, but to try to make it even more effective and efficient based on their method. So I would say I've learned a great deal on the faculty side. And I also know that the faculty that take engagement seriously and they're out in the community, tying it to academically grounded projects to their classes, that they themselves are learning. So absolutely.
Hey, Jack Sly.
Yes.
In my experience as a journalist working all over the country, there are organizations, bureaucracies, universities that sometimes get a hold of a word and they just seem really attached to it. And to them, it means something, but I sometimes find myself puzzled by what they mean by it. And I've heard the word several times this hour. I was hoping you could explain it to me, at least in the context of what James Madison University is attempting to do and what the Madison Center is working on.
Sure.
Can you explain engagement to me? I know nobody's offering to put a ring on my finger. So just tell me how this works in practical terms.
Well, there's really three ways. It's kind of an engaged learning.
Yeah, but you see, you're defining engagement with engaged. So put it in real small little words for me and tell me what you're talking about.
Okay, so to define engagement from JMU's perspective, it's from one side, it's learning in a way where the student is actually practicing while also getting an academic perspective as well. So you do the readings, you read the academia that's out there, and you also at the same time put that into practice in the field. So say through an internship through the Madison Center for Community Development, or just on your own. Another way to look at it would be JMU engaging, I'm using engaged to define engaged again, but JMU going out into the community and looking for those opportunities, asking those nonprofits, those local governments, what is it that you guys need? What is it that you're struggling with, or you wish you could do a little better, or you have a question that you want to get answered. And then answering that through what JMU has on their side through that maybe that student project, that class project, maybe it's a GA position, putting it all together.
I'm sorry, a GA position?
A graduate assistant position, a grad assistant, yeah.
Okay.
That's what I am right now.
I think Jack hit the nail on the head here. It's the university being involved in the community's future. That could be a plethora of things. That could be working to improve the airport's air service. That could be working to improve our workforce, that, you know, pipelines to our businesses. That could be just a number of things. And
well, so Greg Campbell, since airports just been mentioned, and you're executive director of the Shenandoah Valley Regional Airport, have you ever been engaged?
Oh, absolutely. And I think another great example of that is, even before the center was created, in my role with the partnership, we engaged JMU.
This is the Shenandoah Valley
Partnership. Yes.
It's the economic development agency for a large part of the Shenandoah Valley.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
And it was that question of the competitiveness of this region compared to other partnerships throughout the Commonwealth and throughout the country. We all know this is a wonderful place to live and work, but sometimes we can get blinders. So we wanted to look at, are we being competitive in this region as the partnership, as a membership-based organization, but almost a nonprofit? And so we engaged James Madison and Nick, and Cortland got involved in that project. And we found some things we could do better, quite frankly. And
by engaged, in this case, it's just connected with and working with?
Yes, and tapping into their expertise and their knowledge and, of course, research that Cortland was very involved in, and formulating better practices for the partnership. And
can you give me an example of something that improved?
Specifically in our marketing, there were some things that we could do a lot better. In terms of resources, both private and public sector investment, we could do better. And we have. And what that's led to is a tremendous increase in activity in the region, both in terms of investment and interest in our community. And it's just been a real success story.
Yeah, and I'll add to that. And so we, in that approach, it was more of a consulting model where I was hired by the partnership. And so some of the stuff that we're talking about doesn't come free at charge. It's just an extremely reduced rate. And then I also had where the students were involved. And so Cortland had his graduate level assistantship. And then I also tied it to a class-based project. As that unbiased evaluator coming in, and that's one of the beautiful things about this role, is that I try to remove myself as much as I can from the organization. So when I do tell them what they're doing bad, that I can tell them what they're doing bad without having any animosity back towards me. And there were certain things that they could improve upon, and they have. And boy, what a difference has it made.
Cortland, can I ask you about your wife?
Absolutely.
I mean, as long as we're talking about engagement.
Oh, that was a
completely
good segue.
Different set. she works with, is it a nonprofit agency or a quasi-government agency, but it has to do with helping children with autism, right?
Correct. She works, they're based in Harrisonburg. It's Commonwealth Autism Services.
Can you imagine a way, again, just looking for a practical example, that Nick Swartz and this new Madison Center for Community Development could help your wife's agency in its efforts to provide services for children with autism?
Absolutely. And, back to what Nick said, there's a variety of services that he could provide to any organization. Every organization needs a vision. They need to know how to implement that vision, and they need to know what resources to connect to be able to get there. So without providing a specific example...
Oh, go ahead. You'll only get in trouble when you go home tonight.
Right, right. Well, the point is to have her salary still there at the end of the day, so I'm trying not to mess that up.
Could be. I don't know what their needs are, so I'm just thinking about work that we have worked with agencies. I actually just started working with a nonprofit as of just yesterday by contract, where I'm leading them through strategic planning. It could be where we're developing a marketing plan for them. It could be that it's a needs assessment, or as Laura with the United Way made reference to, helping with their grants management process.
Tell me what a needs assessment is.
A needs assessment, and Cortland, you probably see this in your world, but do you want to speak to that?
No, go ahead.
We've only got 30 seconds.
Oh, only 30 seconds. Yeah. So a needs assessment, if we think about, I have one thing that I'm kind of a part of right now, it's really just more by association, is that there's an area that's looking at developing a food processing center. And is there a need in our community? And if there is...
Okay, so it's kind of like research along a survey. Is there a need here?
Sure, and that's one approach that they're taking.
All right. I'm getting so educated. Jack Sly, we're just almost out of time, but I got to ask you, when you get MPA behind your name as a master's in public administration, you know, within a few months, I understand, what are you going to do next?
I suppose I'll get a job.
Is there a particular field that you most want to be in?
I would really like to do kind of what I'm doing now, which is some consulting, some project-based work on for nonprofits for local government.
Helping people do their jobs better.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe
a little bit of a, to put it one way.
When you finish the MPA, would you stop by here? Because I could use some help too. Our guests have been Nick Swartz, Executive Director of the Madison Center for Community Development at James Madison University, as well as faculty member in the school's Department of Public Administration, Cortland Robinson, former graduate student in that JMU department and now Assistant Director of Economic Development for the City of Stanton, as well as Greg Campbell, Executive Director of the Shenandoah Valley Regional Airport, and with us by phone, Masters of Public Administration graduate student at JMU, Jack Sly. Gentlemen, thank you so very much all for making time for us.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you.
Virginia Insight's executive producers, Matt Bingay. Dan Easley is our technical director. Associate producers, Terry Ward and Bob Levicky. Some of our break music supplied by Robert Jaspe and Inner Rhythm. Podcasts of this program available on the Virginia Insight tab at WMRA.org. And when you get to the page for today's broadcast, you will see links to more information about our guests. Thanks so much for tuning in for this edition. I'm Tom Graham. Hope we can get together again soon for more insight.